Yeah, I think staying in touch, staying connected, find us on the socials, follow our newsletter, help share our work out with your communities. If you have connections to folks that might be interested in coming in as a guest or an Indigenous knowledge keeper whose voice you might want heard on our programs, feel free to reach out. We love to be connected with new folks. And also, we're a nonprofit and we need donations to survive. So if you want to donate, you can, yeah, just go to our website, uia.ca. There's a donate today number, and yeah, we appreciate any support there too.
Up next is an interview with DeFowers or the Golden Age of Wrestling, or Jeff. This song is Beyond Love and Beneath You off their album Iconoclast.
Love, surround me now, pray for my soul.
CGSF FM 90.1 Burnaby Community Radio from Simon Fraser University. We broadcast on the unceded ancestral territories of the Coquitlam, Musqueam, and Squamish and Tsleil-Waututh peoples. right now, today, I'm Howling. I'm being joined here by Jeff, who you may know by a couple of different monikers. I have like a little boring bio that I can read out, or do you want to explain your infamy to the people on the radio?
CJSF, let me hear you scream!
Everybody screaming beside the radio.
Thank you for having me. Hallelujah. Yeah, my name is Jeff. My stage names are Devours. And also I have a project called The Golden Age of Wrestling, and they despise each other. Yeah, so Devours is my main project. I've been playing shows in Vancouver for about 10 years. I kind of started as like a first wave, like hyperpop, like Canadian hyperpop artist. And I've released 5 albums. It's sort of morphed into like an electro punk, like dark wave project at this point. I sometimes play live with my friend Dave Prowse on drums. So we're usually a 2-piece now, but yeah. And then I have my separate project, The Golden Age of Wrestling, is like a wrestling alter ego villain who is very petty and aggressive and makes like ambient Hollywood soundtrack music.
Beautiful. I love it. And for those listening right now, The Golden Age of Wrestling is currently, as I'm recording this, number 2 on our CGSF chart. So you may have heard some of this music already in our regular rotation. Perfect. And besides all that pressy stuff, I just wanted to know, what's the latest song in your rotation? Last song you listened to?
Oh my God. Okay. This band, I believe they're based out of Philadelphia. They're called At. It's just the At symbol on a keyboard. Mm-hmm. The song is called Auto Smile, and it's like a folk like masterpiece. It's like 7 minutes long. It is like unbelievably beautiful and like a masterwork of like modern folk. It's really, really clever and good. So yeah, check out the song Auto Smile by At, the At symbol.
Okay, I love that, because you know, like you're just talking about like at that with your Devaros project being an earlier hyper pop adopter, you listen to folk. Is there kind of any other like kinds of music that you enjoy borrowing from or bringing into your various artist projects?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up on like Slipknot. I'm wearing a Slipknot shirt right now. So yeah, I grew up listening to anything. Yeah, lots of guitar music, like angry teenager music, emo. I grew up listening to hip-hop, actually. I love hip-hop. I'm kind of all over the place. I'm a huge fan of everything, honestly. I don't listen to a ton of classical or jazz, but even like some country and stuff. I think that all music is beautiful.
Oh, I love that. You played Jazz Fest, I think.
Shockingly,
recently?
Yeah, yes. I believe, yeah, they invited me to play twice. I played it solo a few years ago, and then they brought me back just a month ago, and I played with Dave, and we played with Walgren. Do you know Walgren?
Yes, I know of him, yeah.
Oh my God, Tegan. Yeah, so Tegan moved to Toronto about 6 months ago and is now finding greener pastures over in Ontario, which is, I'm happy for them and also a little bit jealous. But yeah, like their talent is insane, and it was a really fun show. The turnout was crazy, actually. It was really fun. So yeah, Jazz Fest, represent. Thank you for inviting me.
I love that. To the listeners, before we get like, I get too into the meat of the show, I think me and you, whenever we've run into each other, we've talked on and off the record, our local scene politics and, you know, the struggle of being a person in the scene and making music. What do you think is like your biggest struggle in centering art in such an expensive city and in your own personal life?
That's an interesting question. Yeah. So I started out a little bit over 10 years ago now. So I've been like in the scene for quite a long time. I think my struggles early on were like making music in a genre that like people weren't really doing in Vancouver. And so that was really hard. I felt like I had to like prove myself to the punks and to like the guitar bands. Because I mean, Vancouver has always been kind of like a guitar city. Like it's a rock city. There's lots of punk, garage rock, metal, stuff like that. And so yeah, I mean, also at the time, there weren't really any like vocally gay artists in the scene. And so I was like, cool, I'm screwed. like from day one. I was like, there's no way I'm ever going to be heard or like find an actual like audience or like peers that are doing this. And so I think that those were the challenges more so than the cost of things, because Devourers is pretty like self-contained. I've always been DIY. I make music in my bedroom and mix it and master it. And so, yeah, that hasn't been quite as much of a challenge. But yeah, I mean, Vancouver's insane. It's so, so expensive. I've been in like basically living in a dorm room for the last 10 years because I can't afford anything else. And I also have to like have, yeah, like jobs on the side, you know, which is totally normal. Most people, you know, when they're late 30s and stuff are like part-time lawyers and teachers. And those are like the most successful musicians in Vancouver. Like almost no one can just be a musician here. And so, yeah, you need to really be a hustler in the city to survive, and you need to be adaptable because, yeah, trends come and go, people come and go. It's very transient. It's very youth focused. It's like, it's a pretty difficult game to play.
Yeah. I also kind of like, I also agree on that statement. Something I always think about in terms of art is that like people will always find a way to make it work. If they are able to, like, you will take on the second job. And I mean, almost everybody I know in Vancouver has a second job at this point. Yeah. That's something else to say, but the cost of living. And on top of that, the garage kind of rock centered thing has been interesting because, like, you know, we've lost so many spaces, and the spaces that I feel like we are losing in Vancouver in terms of arts and culture are mostly like queer spaces run by BIPOC. We lost Take Your Time Back a couple months ago now, but we still have Take Your Time Front.
I love that place so much. I used to perform there all the time. I sing in a choir, like a big 40-person East Van choir called Esquire. And we used to rehearse in that space. It used to be called the Toast Collective. Mm-hmm. And so that's where I kind of like got my start, like finding my voice in Vancouver. This was around 2014 or so, even before like Devourers had performed. Then it turned into 648 Kingsway and then Take Your Time. And so, yeah, that space in all of its iterations over the last like decade and a half or whatever has been like very magical and sentimental to me. And yeah, you're right. Spaces are hard to come by in Vancouver. Venues open up and then they're gone for, you know, like a year or two later. But yeah, Vancouver scene is just like overflowing with talent and musicians. It's such a crowded, amazing music scene, and there aren't enough places to play. So yeah, it's like a constant challenge here.
Yeah. And I'm on top of that, like you'd also mentioned like this like youth centered kind of culture. I will say I am 23. I am just turning 23. And I can say I'm already starting to feel a little washed up. I went to show.
Don't you dare say.
For the listeners, I went to a show and I like was having a conversation with some 18-year-olds and they were talking about music, and I was like, oh, it must be over for me. They're like, don't worry, there's still time to turn your life around at 23. Oh,
my God.
I'm still kind of recovering from that little ego blow, honestly.
That is wild.
But you had like an Instagram post kind of talking about how sometimes there's this like sense of abandonment from the local scene or even at the larger like music industry in Canada. And it was kind of funny because I had a conversation with a musician that was like in their 40s and 50s about how these like larger infrastructural things, like, you know, something like the CBC is not supporting artists that maybe were really, really big in their 20s. And it's just always on to the next big shiny thing when these people aren't done producing good quality art. I just wanted to hear more of your thoughts on that.
Yeah, that's opening a huge can of worms, but thank you for reading the post. Yeah, I mean, this is on my mind a lot. I'm 41. I'm not trying to hide it or embarrassed by it or anything. I'm very aware that the young people in the scene probably see me as like the gay uncle or like the dad of the scene or whatever, which is fine. I think that, yeah, it's a very superficial industry. You know what I mean? It's a very youth-driven industry. Young people are the people who are driving culture and who are going to shows. A lot of the people my age, like elder millennials and stuff, aren't even really performing that much or going to shows much now. They're like raising kids. And so for me, I mean, the music scene is very, very social, right? Like people go to shows to hang out with their friends. Like, it's so social. Like, the whole scene is very social. And so it's a fascinating experience and kind of devastating when you kind of get into that, like, mid 30s onwards, where it's like, my friends aren't really going out much. They're like just watching Netflix and raising kids and stuff. And then like everyone else is half my age. And so it's like the societal pressure of like feeling awkward. It kind of feels like going to a high school party like 2 years too late. And it's like, Jeff, you're still passionate. You're still making cool music, but like maybe the moment has passed. And that's a constant battle inside of me of being like, no, I'm still invested. I'm still like 23 in my heart and in my spirit. But yeah, I mean, the scene is ageist and it's a little awkward being around younger people who are obviously like judging older people. But yeah, I don't know. I think that I'm trying to sort of like blaze a trail and be like, you know what? My life isn't heteronormative. You know, I think that I'm actually maybe even getting better as a musician. I have more to say now. It's not like I'm washed up or boring as a 40-year-old. I'm like more political. I am like maybe more interesting now than I was when I was younger. And so, yeah, people can take it or leave it. I'm not going to be able to please that many people out there, but I'm just still going to do my thing.
Yeah, good art is good art. That's kind of like, I think, what the crux of it is. You got your Polaris long list a little bit back with Homecoming Queen. Good record.
Oh my
also.
God, thanks for like reading up on me.
I have to. Yeah, that's part of my job. Yeah, I mean, like, and on top of that, like, people on the West Coast are just, like, not as included with recognitions like the Polaris. It was just you and Haley Blaze, I think, that were recognized on that long list from Vancouver, BC. But, like, very underrepresented, I think, looking through, like, you know, like all those SOCAN awards or even something like the Junos or whatever. With something like the Polaris that's supposed to be less like about the numbers and more about the aspect of art, I think it's just makes me a little sad that like there's a lot of great art being made here. Put your money where your mouth is.
Yeah, I think Vancouver for the last decade has really struggled with its like industry infrastructure. Right. So even Polaris, which is meant to sort of be like for the like indie artists across Canada, it is still kind of an industry award. Like almost everyone who gets nominated for it is like in the industry machine. They're on labels like Royal Mountain and like Secret City in Montreal and stuff like this. So they're already kind of supported. Yeah, it's not something that I wanted to like elaborate on too much when the Polaris thing happened, but it was totally crazy. I think I'm one of the only artists in history in Canada to have made something that was like literally DIY and self-released and to be nominated. Like even Haley Blay is like supported by the industry machine at this point, and she's like on arts and crafts and stuff. But for me, it just sort of felt like a lifetime achievement award, maybe. I'm like, this is probably never going to happen again. I don't know if it's going to, like, maybe I got like 3 new Instagram followers from it. So it's not like Polaris led to this like huge explosion in my career or anything, but it just felt like, wow, like acknowledgement for like an actual underground artist in Vancouver, which like never ever happens. And I think that something that I discovered a few months ago is that there's a new prize in Western Canada. They just launched it. It's called the Meridian Prize. And it's sort of like the Polaris of like Western Canada and Northern Canada, which is really neat. Yeah, I haven't been nominated or anything, but like the band Emma Goldman, who's like an awesome hardcore band in Vancouver, they got nominated for their album last year, which I honestly think should have been nominated for Polaris. It's like a very special album. It looks like some people in the Canadian industry are like trying to make some changes to represent Western Canada a bit better. But yeah, I think the biggest surprise for people out east is that Vancouver is the third biggest music hub in Canada. Right, based off of population after Toronto and Montreal, like Vancouver's huge. It is a huge music scene. There's overflowing with artists, but because there are so few labels here, then they're not necessarily recognized. And so it just feels like a wild, wild west of just like underground DIY culture that no one understands outside the city. So yeah, Vancouver is very, very misunderstood and very talented. Yeah,
I love the scrappy nature of it. Like, oh, you don't want to have venues? You won't let us? We'll figure it out. It's kind of the vibe that I've noticed, like being somebody who's only been really playing shows since after the pandemic. But yeah, I want to give a quick moment to, you know, a moment of respect to the fallen music festivals of this city. Grifflandia, gone this year. I don't know if you heard about that.
Absolutely.
But I've been talking with a lot of folks at the station about things like Pemberton and Squamish Valley. There was that very short-lived hip-hop festival, Breakout Festival, which is too similarly named to Breakout West. So that made Googling a little bit. I learned about VEMF, which was one in Victoria, like Vancouver, or Victoria Electronic Music Festival. And it's just like a crazy kind of transition point where I guess like as grant funds get tighter and the economy is strange, like, you know, one of those first things that gets put to the chopping block are these important art festivals, some of them a little bit more corporate and mainstream than the other, but still like there's something to aspire for through those. But along that tangent, I would love to hear a little bit more about the show you're playing soon. Just plug it to our listeners.
Yeah, let's do it. I mean, Vancouver needs festivals. This has been on my mind for years now. I think Music Place is going through a hard time as well, and they're trying to sort of like restructure and relaunch for next year, but then I really noticed the lack of like Music Place this year. Thankfully Green Auto Fest has like pulled up and is doing amazing things. But yeah, in terms of like a bigger thing, we had Westward Music Festival that was put on by MRD a year ago, maybe a year or two ago. I played that with Haley Play actually, and that I don't think exists anymore. So yeah, it's hard. Like Vancouver's expensive, it's hard getting people out here. But yeah, the show that I have this upcoming Friday, I'm not organizing it, but the Wise Hall is organizing it along with my friend Hank Pine, who is performing, and it is a non-corporate pride showcase, basically, with another band called Hyenas. They're also playing. And so, yeah, lots of, like, queer artists. There's a drag artist named Batty Banks who is going to do a few numbers, I think, and I'm going to headline that. So, yeah, it's going to be this upcoming Friday at the Wise Hall. Tickets are still available.
There's too many great like events going on kind of beforehand. I might hit the Normie Corp, but I will say I'm like a little bit like I'm at my inside era. I'm in my inside era. I'm trying to chill a little bit. But you know, like I think you're earlier on in the interview, you're talking about like, you know, reaching an age where like your friends are like having kids and settling down and they don't want to go out to shows. Generational shift. Gen Z is like the least fun generation ever. I don't know if you've like heard about these numbers, like Gen Z people go out the least amount and spend the least amount of money, have like the least like amount of experience with relationships. And I'm like, I don't love going out as often as I feel like I'm supposed to as a young person. And I also think that kind of does translate to some aspects of show going and ticketing. You know, most boring and unfun generation ever, but wearing that badge with pride.
Gen Z rules. I love every Gen Zer that I meet. I'm just like, you are awesome. So yeah, I'm very on board with Gen Z. Yeah, it's going to be a busy weekend. I played a corporate pride, like Vancouver Pride, like the big whatever, like maybe right before COVID, and it was terrible. It was such a bad show. I played on Sunset Beach in like a beer garden. And they thought I was a DJ, like they didn't have the right equipment. They didn't even promote it. It was really bad. Hopefully they've like gotten a little better over the years. But yeah, Pride, I mean, it's tricky. I don't want to go on like a huge rant about it, but they mostly just support DJs and drag artists. Like that's what makes money. And so, yeah, for the last handful of years, I've organized, like I did something at Green Auto where I organized this big like non-corporate Pride show. And then I also performed in a chapel downtown maybe like 3 or 4 years ago and made like this anti-corporate pride show. I think last year I performed for Shame Fest, which is like a totally punk, like underground, like anti-corporate pride thing. And so, yeah, I don't want to hate on like corporate pride. There's a place for everything. And I believe that pride is really important still. So like, I'm glad that it exists. I don't want to be too like crotchety or political over it, but yeah, this Friday's show, yeah, that's all I have really organized for Pride this year. I hope that some people come. Music, indie music is a tough sell, period. So like I'm at war with like, you know, competing in a straight market, competing in a gay market, but they only care about drag and not music. And so it's like, it's hard to even get queers out to shows. So we'll see how this Friday goes. Hoping for the best, but yeah.
Of course, and I always just encourage listeners to check out their smaller, like more municipal Pride events. This past week, the station was out tabling at Burnaby Pride, which is a smaller municipal Pride event that is organized by like a handful of nonprofits in that city. And there's several more that I could list out, but I really recommend looking into what your municipality has, just because in the last decade or so, smaller Pride events have been really cropping up and doing some great work and showing a variety of talent. I always commend Burnaby Pride for having like a huge variety of types of like queer music and art. And there is drag, but on top of that, you know, there's folk, there's rock, there's DJs, like, you know, like, understanding that, queer music, it's underrated. And it's queer music is not just like the monolith of like DJs, and DJs are great. And I enjoy a good DJ set, but allowing more space for different kinds of queer art just is beneficial to everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I performed for New West Pride a few years now, and so New West represent, like, I'm really proud of the suburbs, like, they're doing great things.
Lovely stuff. Well, I guess we're just gonna wrap up a little bit. We're gonna play some tunes. We're gonna end off this with a song called Purgatory for Vancouver Buzz Bands by Golden Age of Wrestling. Thank you so much.
Tuning in to our super summer programming.
Catch us next Friday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m.
And until then, stay super chill.